Hey, kiddies, it's been a great year. I hope you're enjoying the holiday. I'm enjoying the holiday. Would you like me to enjoy my holiday a little better? Well, good. When you're getting something from Amazon, go to AdamCarolla.com, click through the Amazon banner, and bookmark it as well. It keeps the pirate ship sailing well into 2014. And what would the holiday be without some mangria? It's back, baby. It's back. It's in stock. Go to CorollaDrinks.com. Click on shop on the top right and go to town. Loving you. Loving David Koechner. Loving Sarah Silverman. In honor of Anchorman 2 coming out, we thought we'd start off with our good friend David Koechner. First, The Spoils of Babylon. Eric John Rosch's epic novel is now an epic miniseries coming to IFC Thursday, January 9th. It's a 6-part miniseries. That's almost a maxi series. Features big names like Kristen Wiig, Tobey Maguire, Will Ferrell, Jessica Alba, Val Kilmer. Man, the list goes on and on. Tim Robbins? They're loaded for bear, man. You don't want to miss this. The premiere night will include 2 back-to-back episodes, The Spoils of Babylon, IFC, Thursday, January 9th at 10, 9 Central. And now, away we go.
You're listening to the Ace Broadcasting Network. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, David Koechner, plus Allison Rosen on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and we're taking your prom nightmare stories. And now, he came and he gave without taking, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandy, get it on. Good day, Allison Rosen.
Hello, Adam Carolla.
Good day, Paul Bryan.
Dude, I'll jerk you off.
Oh, needed to be hotter. Come on, man. Try it again.
That's as hot as it goes.
Come on, dude. I'll jerk you off.
Yeah, see now. Now, then there you go.
It's in surround sound.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Come on, dude. I'll jerk you off.
Okay. Now listen to me.
Would you please say your embarrassing things closer to the mic so they pop?
The reason we started off with that little Barry Manilow thing is I decided it'd be funny if Mandy was a man instead of Mandy. Because it seemed gayer. And then when we were talking to
Jim Jeffries,
right, up on stage at Irvine, he said, it should be Andy.
Yes.
So I said, you're right, should be Andy. So then I had the Porcelain Punisher, Matt Fondelier, working on Oh Andy. But he couldn't really get the Oh Andy down because it just sounded weird mm-hmm. when you clip the M. So then I said, well, let's go back to Oh Man. And Oh Man worked pretty good, except for it sounds like Oh Man, he hit a home run. Like it doesn't
sound gay enough.
Doesn't sound nearly gay enough.
We need to explain your assertion was we brought up Barry Manilow and you said something as if everyone knows he's gay and we're like, I don't think he is out.
Well, there's a handful. I mean, a select A team of dudes who everyone knows is gay. They just haven't said they were gay, but everyone knows they're gay.
Right.
But he's one of those guys. He's the tip of that gay spear. He's the tip of that butt plug, right?
Yeah.
I mean...
Action tip.
Nobody thinks he's straight, right?
Well, I mean,
Richard Simmons may be in there as well. Like, you don't have to say
he's all man.
You don't have to say you're gay.
Right. You say it without saying it.
Right. The dolphin shorts are all we need to hear when it comes to... All right. So, I somehow decided that. I didn't know, but I thought it was sort of common knowledge. So then, I don't know, somehow I stumbled into Oh Man, and then that didn't work. So, Oh Andy didn't work.
God, what happened?
And Oh Man didn't work.
Oh.
Fondelier's got, 100 man hours, pardon the pun, wrapped up into this at this point. And then I said, try Manny. See if Manny works. Because I'm dogged. Not when it comes to my kids' education. But when it comes to making Barry Manilow songs make him sound gay, I never give up. Mm-hmm. I'm fucking tenacious, man.
Tenacious.
So after much work, this is what he came up with. Just took it from the middle. It's good stuff. my legacy. It's good stuff. Come on, Brian, laugh it up, buddy.
He just took the D out, he edited the D out?
I'm not going to tell you his secrets.
Just took the D out?
Just took the D out.
That is like...
Yeah, you just put a man on the moon?
Right.
Big whoop. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You just cured malaria? Yeah, big whoop.
I didn't mean to be little as a college.
Wow, don't be a one-upper.
I feel terrible.
Don't be a D-downer. All right, so anyway, after much work, we got 41 seconds.
Of comedy. Do you think Rich Banks is listening to this, pulling his hair out, being like, I could do this.
I could take a D out. It's more just than take, just yeah. taking a
it's
D out.
It's leaving an M-A-N and adding an N and a Y.
How dare
leaving
you.
Leaving a Y.
All right. You see, I've displayed my trophy. Nice job, Matt Fondelier. it's comical. So what happened? I don't know if I mentioned on the air, but I won the Toyota Celebrity Grand Prix.
You did. I think I heard something about that.
Congratulations.
That's where you drove, right?
Who wants to play the part of my nanny when I say I don't like to talk about myself?
You?
No.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you want to try it again?
Yeah.
I don't like to talk about myself.
No.
It's good. Go up an octave at the end. I don't like to talk about myself.
No.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I have her trained.
I just cracked your trophy.
And you and Ella Fitzgerald. And I won that thing. And I was a little... Well, first, the car I got from last year, they give you a little model with your name on it. My name was misspelled once and then spelled correctly another time on the bumper. And then the one they gave me this year, my car, the little model they gave you, my car was just misspelled all the way through times three or four on the car. So I take that stuff. It's kind of funny to me. And then I thought, where's my trophy? Because I was holding up this big, heavy, nice, beautiful. I was telling you guys, it's substantial. It's like a big, it's not Lucite. It's a big, heavy glass trophy. And I thought, where is that bad boy? And then I thought, well, maybe they'll be giving it to me when I give my $5,000 to the Catholic Big Brothers for some bowling tournament thing I'm going to do. I give them the presentation. And by the way, $15,000 for... setting the pole and $5,000 for winning the race. Seems like they got that one flip-flopped. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
If you go to adamcarolla.com, you can take a look at what was a pretty good-looking trophy. Anyway.
That's thick glass. It's like inch-thick glass.
It's good-looking stuff, and it's heavy, and they take it away from you because then they give you the champagne, and you start squirting that everywhere, and this is a disaster waiting to happen. I mean, this precious trophy could break. And at some point, I got a nice big box today, and I went, ooh, what have we here? And I opened it up, and it had, like, some pictures and some mementos, and I went, ooh, and there's another box within the box, and I picked that up. And I was,
Russian
that's...
nesting boxes.
Yes, that's heavy. And then I started to roll it over to open it up, and I heard a jingle jangle come from inside of it, and then when I opened it up, it was in about 80 pieces. I brought the two biggest pieces of the trophy in here. So I don't know how you do it. I don't know if you got to put in for another trophy. I don't know if they have one sitting around. I don't know if they have to take it to the water jet place to inscribe the whatever on the thing. I don't know how it works.
It'd be a great racket to get a bunch of trophies if you called and said it was broken, but it wasn't really.
I get the feeling like they're going to want this one back.
Yeah.
Or at least a picture of it broken up in the box, which we took for jokes, for shits and giggles for CarCast.
So what do you think happened? Do you think the mailman was careless with it?
I've seen UPS guys treat this shit like it was the Highland Games. Like they're in kilts and they're spinning around and they're chucking boxes.
They're doing your package what men would do with a really small woman.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Spinners.
Flip them in the air, yeah.
So I did Pete Holmes's podcast, which aired recently, and somebody, super nice guy, and somebody tweeted me, oh, write a song. Does he have a song? Let's get rid of that D. Let's make it Pete Holes. Somebody tweeted me something that I said, and I like doing other people's podcasts because they talk and they interview me and I get to sit there, and it was nice, and somebody asked me, I guess Pete asked me something, and we got into something, and there was some quote that somebody tweeted that I really liked. And so I'm just going to sort of repeat it, and I will paraphrase myself because I can't remember exactly what I said. But it's something that I feel is pretty important. We talk about, you know, oh, this guy's destined for this, and everyone has a, you know, we do this bullshit where we tell everyone all the time, like, hey, you got something inside you. Like, everybody was put here for a reason. You want to talk about setting the bar way too high.
Right.
Like, everyone is here, put for a reason. And the next thing you know, you're just managing an Arby's and Arlita, and you're 41, and you're like, this is the reason I was put here, to sell super cheap roast beef sandwiches to almost homeless people. Like, no, not everyone was put here for a reason. So I said at some point that there was no guarantee of greatness. You can't guarantee it. You just might not be great, but you can guarantee toughness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can be super tough. You don't have to be great, and most of us aren't, but you can be super dogged and super tough and super tenacious, and that I like. So I like the no guarantee of greatness, but you can guarantee toughness, and it was on Pete's.
And the illustration of that is you with Manny?
Mm-hmm, with me and Manny. Right, a lot of guys would have walked away after O-Man.
Washed the hands of it, yeah.
Or Andy.
Yeah.
But I fucking came back.
They would have been afraid to stay with it.
Mm-hmm.
So Pete Holmes' podcast, You Made It Weird, has a theme song at the beginning, You Made It Weird, and you could change it to You Are My Beard.
Get to work, Fondelier. Brian, I said his name.
Oh, yeah,
come
right
on. Yeah. Greatness is not within all of us.
But toughness is.
Right. Except for somebody wrote, bye.
Bye, toughness is.
Yeah. Although,
where do I get that? And by toughness, and you mean doggedness and
well,
perseverance.
What I'm saying is, you don't have a choice. If you're slow and short, you're just not going to play in the NBA. Like, and you know, there's some great people out there, and we don't know any of them. But the part where you're dogged, that's up to you. Like that the part where you know, sleep 6 hours and go to night school and do 100 push-ups every morning, or at least as many as you can peel off. That's up to you. That's your thing. You want to sit around, smoke weed, drink beer, that's your thing. If you want to bust your ass, that's your thing. And most of the people that got where they're going aren't particularly great. We always hold up. There's a few people that have, like, pure voices and pure moves. You know, we get caught up with the folks.
No!
we get caught up
beautiful.
With the folks that are just you know, gifted. We get caught up with, like, LeBron James and Whitney Houston. That's who we get caught up. And then the obviously, 99.9999% of us don't possess any of that, but we do possess the ability.
Grit.
We do possess grit. If you like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking, in my life, I think the thing that, and I hesitate to say this lest anyone put it to use, so don't, but I think the thing that usually pushes me over the edge in terms of, like, I'm going to do something is feeling like people are doubting me.
Yeah.
It upsets me until all of a sudden I'm like, I'm going to show you motherfuckers.
All right. Well, just for the record, we all doubt you here. Now go, girl.
No. No.
And speaking of an interesting conversation, me and Dennis Prager in San Diego, available now through our store. Coming to iTunes soon, but you can get it on our store, and we've dropped the price. $4.99, it's 90 minutes, or over 90 minutes, and you can do the combo pack if you want to get the last one along with this one. Good comments, good stuff, and I'm not taking any credit for it. He's a really interesting cat, and he has a lot of wisdom. I will put it to you that way. Never do not argue with Dennis Prager. That's my point.
No. Very fancy font.
Do not argue with him. All right. Let's see. You've got some news. We've got some crap to do. We got the book. Oh, you got the Sarah Silverman tape. You went out and talked to her at the benefit?
Yes, at the ALS benefit. I spoke with her backstage before she went on.
Shall we? That's a couple minutes long?
It's a couple times three. It's six.
Okay. Well, why don't we listen to that? This is just from last Wednesday at the ALS benefit that she and I and other people were performing at. You got a little backstage interview.
I like to get it over with because as soon as I get off stage, I smoke lots of pot, and then I'm not nearly as funny as I think I am.
You might be more funny than you think you are.
I might be.
You might be.
But it's a grab bag.
Right.
There's no saying.
So you never get stoned before you perform?
No, I don't. If I do, if I have to, I can, but I don't. Even if I were to do it much earlier, I can't be fresh.
Can you read stoned? I can't. I can't. Like, I'll read a sentence and it doesn't go in.
I can read stoned. You're, I can.
I'm very impressed.
I get too open-minded.
Yeah, sometimes you gotta slam the doors of perception shut, I find. So, Adam has announced that he's not gonna see your newest movie because you're naked in it and he feels it would be too intimate.
I think that's the right way to go. I don't need Adam to see this movie. I think he might.
You don't think these subtle nuances would appeal to him?
They actually might, because he acts like he doesn't have that kind of brain, but he does, you know.
Yeah,
he very much does. But, you know, I think he can certainly live with never seeing it. If I were him, I don't think I would want to see me naked. We know each other in too different a way.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what he was saying. I think he was saying, you know, it'd be like seeing Noah's sister.
Yeah.
Naked.
I heard a rerun of him on Howard Stern the other day, and he quoted me, and it made me realize how Jewish I am despite having any religious bone in my body, which is, he said, you know, it made me feel like Sarah Silverman would say, fa, fa, fa. And I was just like, oh, God, I do say that. Never thought I said it so much to actually quote it as, like, such a Jewy.
Are you Jewish? I am, and I don't ever say fa. Although,
fa
and gefilte fish are his new Jew go-tos.
Sorry.
And
I was,
really?
Yeah. And I have had gefilte fish before, though.
Oh.
I don't think it's that bad.
It's like eating.
You think it's that bad? Maybe for I'm more Jewy than I know.
No, but you know what? For me, I've never even tried fish in my life.
You've never tried any kind of fish?
Yeah, no.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, then I guess...
I've never tried fish. You know why?
Because
I have a nose. And I can smell things.
That's true.
And when things smell like fish,
well,
you don't
need it. What about cheeses that smell like feet?
I love it. I love any... Even cheese that smells like... honestly, like an asshole.
Mm-hmm. Butt cheese?
I like it. Although I don't like Swiss cheese, and that's like the assholiest.
There's certain blue cheeses that definitely smell like some kind of fungus situation.
Yeah.
Or it's a mold,
but
really.
I do like cheese. And I love eggs. Even, you know, but every once in a while, I think about what eggs are, and then I don't eat eggs for a couple months.
Yeah. I do that with any sort of food that's from an animal.
Yeah.
I never do that with vegetables, but when I think, oh, this is flesh.
I'm a vegetarian. I don't eat any meat.
Well,
I eat milk and cheese and eggs, so I guess I just eat things that come out of animals, vaginas and boobs.
That's
boobs. What sort of animals is having boobs?
You don't, and yet people eat chicken breast all the time.
Yeah.
Without realizing, right. Stuff
from
straight
them.
From the udder. Well, I was going to say, so then aren't people like, what, you have never tried sushi all the time? But if you're vegetarian, then they must not be up your butt about
yeah,
sushi.
No.
Yeah,
I've never had any, what is it, shrimp or lobster. So gross to me. It's like...
Well, lobster is like a big insect in the sea that crawls around, and that's pretty icky. And then shrimp, the fact they have heads disturbs me. Of course, if it was an animal that had no head, that would also be disturbing. But, yeah, they're pretty gross.
I think I had contact
high. I'm going to stop talking
about
disgusting
seafood. Yeah, I feel high now, too.
I actually mentioned you in a news story recently. I think it was from The Hollywood Reporter, where you were on the red carpet in Tribeca talking about your latest movie and talking about how there's... you and Michelle Williams showered together, right? In
right,
the movie?
Right.
But, and you were talking about
now
how it's female nudity on screen, but it's not sexual, and just how unusual it is to see that.
That's something that the writer, director, Sarah Polly, she said in it, like, really stuck with me, which is women are naked with each other every day. Like, you and your girlfriends, your sisters, you're changing, one's in the tub, one's reading a magazine, you're trying on clothes. It's just a reality, you know? And it's so normal. But to have that reflected in movies, it's jarring because the only nudity you see in movies is sexual, you know, is of women anyway, is sexual. And so to see just this very run-of-the-mill, nonchalant, like, moment in this movie where we're just, like, in the shower at the Y, it is jarring. And it is for us too. For me too. It's you know, I'm not gonna pretend it's like, hey, that's what we do every day. It is, but it's weird to see. And you know, I have no posture. I'm just kind of like standing like a caveman, and it's like it's real. But I'm trying to be kind to myself about it, and be as nice about my body, feel as good about my body as I would want young girls to think that I do. You know, I mean, it's be as nice to yourself as you would to any fucking stranger on the street. If I saw someone else naked and she had the same body as me, I would be like, yeah, that's cool, you know, but we're so hard on ourselves.
I'm that way with my scrotum.
I'm just saying, keep your expectations low.
Do you watch Girls? Have you seen that show?
Yeah,
that had some scenes of just women hanging out together naked. It was in a non-sexual way. And I had that same reaction of like, when I first saw it, I thought, where's this going to go? Because I didn't even realize I had that expectation of those scenes until I saw that.
Right, that was the a girl in a tub.
Yeah.
But like, Sparkle Peanut.
That's her talking to Jimmy.
She's having sex like from behind. There. And she's like,
he opened the show.
She was there?
She's like, do I move? Yep. And he's like, what? And she's like,
I thought the whole point was they're supposed to miss each other.
It was so interesting. And
they did not.
And the show's going to start, and we should probably wrap it up. Or you could maybe grab Patton.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I never think I have anything to say.
You had a lot to say. Thank you.
So
freak.
For more of those interviews, you can hear them on my podcast, Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend.
I thought that Jimmy was going first so he wouldn't have to hang out with Sarah.
Well, that's what I had heard as well, but she and Todd Glass got there. They were like the first comedians who were there, I think, and they were hanging out backstage, and then Jimmy was there right at the beginning, and I don't know either of them well enough to actually know, but it didn't
seem awkward.
I'm
not trying to stir anything up, but I thought the whole plan was he was going first, and like she was going last or close to last, so there was a little ship in the night kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, not like I hate your guts, just more like exes don't need to sit in green rooms together for the most part.
She said to him, "Sparkle Peanut."
Wow!
But she did and afterwards, she right as he left. I may have been projecting, but it did look like there was sort of a awkward expression across her face. And just as a human being, I wanted to say, is this weird? Mm-hmm. But I don't know her well enough to say that.
All right. Let's see. Keckner's here. Let's do a minute of news. Let's do a couple minutes of news, and then we'll bring Dave Keckner in because he's such a good guy.
The news with Allison Rosen.
She'll read some news from her iPad. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's Allison. Allison.
No.
And when it's time to wrap it up, she'll sign it off with zip it cut. It's Allison.
No.
Allison.
No.
Yes. President Obama announced his support for gay marriage during an interview with ABC's Robin Roberts Wednesday afternoon. And Obama stressed that it's a personal position and that he still supports the concept of states deciding the issue. Yesterday, voters in North Carolina approved a constitutional amendment defining marriage as between one man and one woman. And here's a clip from the interview.
But I have to tell you that over the course of several years, as I talk to friends and family and neighbors, when I think about members of my own staff who are in incredibly committed monogamous relationships, same-sex relationships, who are raising kids together. When I think about those soldiers or airmen or Marines or sailors who are behalf and yet feel constrained, even now that Don't Ask, Don't Tell is gone because they're not able to commit themselves in a marriage. At a certain point, I've just concluded that for me personally, it is important for me to go ahead and affirm that I think same-sex couples should be able to get married.
I think people talk way too much about their gay friends.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think
he's saying he has gay staff.
I don't think they have nearly as many gay friends as people. Like, people always go way over the top or they go like, I have a lot. I mean, I'm close with, I know, it's just like a lot of weird preamble about gay. Like, I know it. I'd say I have a dusting of gay folks I know, but I'm not that tight with them. not one of those things where it's like, I'm very close. I have neighbors. I have family members. Mm-hmm. I have loved ones. I have employees. I have the guy cleans my pool. And then there's the other guy I see at Trader Joe's, who I'm not sure is gay, but I'm pretty sure if I asked to suck his cock, he'd say, okay, there's that guy. What are we up to? 14?
I lost count at
how many
12.
Gays we at?
Dozen, let's say.
We had a parade of gays yet?
Or at
Baker's
least a
dozen?
A gays dozen.
A gays dozen? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I have many, many. I feel like people do, they try to do it with blacks, but it doesn't work quite as well because we never see you hang around with black guys.
Right, yeah.
And you didn't hire any black guys, so we can kind of do the black guy math. Mm-hmm. But the gays, that kind of slides by. Like, no one really knows. I go, I have a lot of gay friends. I have a lot, but many gay friends.
What's weird, though, is I feel like if you say that, like, oh, I have plenty of friends who are black and plenty of friends who are this, then if you say that, I'm thinking you are racist. But if you say that about gays, I think you're a liar, but I don't necessarily think you're homophobic.
I have a lot of black gay friends.
Now I'm just confused.
I have a lot of super black, super gay friends. I have a lot of guys that
name
are
super black.
Super black, like, will never be mistaken for anything other than a super black man, that are all power bottoms. And I don't even know how it works out mathematically, because many of them are couples. And I spend a lot of time. As a matter of fact, I spend...
And are you totally comfortable around them?
I feel exceedingly comfortable around my super black, obnoxiously gay friends that I spend more time with than I do my own family.
And why do we never see you with
these
people?
I hope that my son turns out to be gay and black someday.
All right. I'm sorry. I painted you with the wrong brush.
I exclusively hang out with black gay folk, okay? And Hispanically gay black men. I know a lot of them. And I spend a lot of time with them. And I share their concerns.
You tried to hire a super black, super gay, power bottom news girl guy.
That's right. That's right. You couldn't. I share their concerns.
Three times, fool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sorry. Where were we?
So this is
let him get married.
Deal that he's saying. You know, he's the first president to openly support gay marriage. At the same time,
yes.
A lot of people don't really feel like this is the most overt ringing endorsement of gay marriage, because he did couch it in so many, you know, I feel it's blah, 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 personal,
listen.
Blah, blah, blah. And he has been, you know, kind of tacitly, if not overtly, against gay marriage for so many years, although before 1996, he was in favor of gay marriage, so he's a flip-flopper.
Well.
But so are all politicians.
And look, the thing is, you have to figure out what the fuck people want so you can get elected. I mean, that's pretty much how it works. And then you rationalize that once you get elected,
right,
you'll do the right thing.
Well, people have been wondering why is he, you know, I think a lot of people feel that he actually is in favor of gays being allowed to marry. So why has he been opposed to it? Who's he afraid of alienating?
Yeah.
And I think the theory is that it's the conservative black voters that he's afraid of alienating.
I don't know how many conservative black voters there are, but I wouldn't be friends with them unless they were gay, by the way.
They probably are.
Conservative
I don't
black
think
gay
you're going to – it's like this. When you pipe up and you say something and you take a stand, you are in danger of alienating somebody. And when you don't take a stand, you rarely alienate people. They may not like it, but you don't drive them off.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you're never going to really get yelled at unless you raise your hand.
Right.
You can kind of sit there.
And you feel like a politician can skate by without raising their hand?
You can be just a sort of C-minus student and get kind of a low-grade burn of like, he never really says anything. But you're never really, no one's going to point a finger at you and single you out if you raise your hand. If you raise your hand, there's a very good chance you're going to piss off a lot of people. And this is not a geography test. There is no right answer to what is the capital of. Mm-hmm. There's no right answer in this particular case. So you're going to piss off somebody if you do raise your hand. If you kind of just sit there and nod your head, you'll never really get yelled at, but it'll never really feel satisfying to the people that want you to raise your hand.
Right.
But you raise that hand, it'll
for.
Get slapped. Yeah, most politicians stand for getting reelected.
Right,
honestly.
Right. So for whatever reason, his people obviously decided that it's going to help him more to say this than to not.
Yeah, that's how it works. Yeah, they got to figure it out. You got a bunch of people. It's a popularity contest. Don't kid yourself, people.
I have bad news, Adam.
Mm-mm.
Vidal Sassoon.
Mm.
He's no longer with us.
Oh, my goodness.
He was 84.
Now, let's see. Did he make super expensive shampoo or jeans? Or both?
He made the shampoo. Affordable shampoos. Oh. Thank you very much.
Oh, it was expensive. It was affordable?
You're thinking of, there were Sassoon jeans, weren't there? But he made the hair stuff.
There were Sassoon jeans and Sassoon shampoo.
This is Calgon all over again.
We keep running into this stuff.
Yeah. No, he's a world-renowned hairdresser.
Oh, yeah.
Inventor of the wash-and-wear hairstyle for women.
I know that. And then I started thinking about the fact that there were, I think, Sassoon jeans.
But there were. I can see the double O's.
Is that him? Is that him? Is he the genius behind the Sassoon jeans?
I don't believe.
All right, so
I feel like the Obits are really missing out if they didn't mention his
he'll be donation missed. He'll
to
be missed terribly.
Asses.
And
yeah.
I'm just amazed. I just got brought up in that.
Oh,
there are Sassoon.
Ooh la la, Sassoon.
That's right.
Oh, no, that's Sasson. Sasson.
I swear to God, they called him Sassoon. Well,
yeah, me
I'm
too. No, they
up.
Did. They did.
All right, so. Well, Brian, did you watch that doc last night from Morgan Spurlock?
I watched it today.
I was saying in
Mansum.
I was saying in it, it's amazing. And I've said it a million times. This is a multi-billion-dollar-year industry that we have, like body wash.
I agree with Charles Manson.
Because in
Mansum.
In the doc, I said, do you think your pubes in the back of your balls know the difference between a dollop of shampoo and a dollop of body wash?
Oh, they definitely do.
You fucking need that. You have a patch of hair over your cock and balls. Yes, I'm looking at you, Allison. And you have a patch of hair on top. Sorry, Brian.
Still looking at Allison.
On top of your head. Uh-huh. And either way, you want it not to smell funky, so you put a shot of this. We have so many fucking products. And every time John Stossel does one of those things, the suave version of it for $249 is always exactly the same as everything else.
Mm-hmm.
I really think it's all about the scent. That's just me. But anyway, he'll be missed. His shampoo and his jeans.
There's a few things. Sorry to interrupt. Just on your point, there's a few things that do like slight differences, like antibacterial soap versus regular soap, which is just kind of like lotion.
Yeah.
As opposed to others actually killing bacteria and making your areas cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right for the most part, right? It's just all just
there's
the
this,
same stuff with a little tiny difference. In
what
the smell.
Look? You put a dollop of it in your hand and it lathers up. Does it fucking make a difference whether it's on your head or in your pube patch? That's all I'm saying. Like, do you really need a body wash? I mean, under your arms, whatever it is, just use the fucking shampoo. And you shouldn't be using that anyway. You should be rinsing yourself off. I'm telling you, Mother Nature knows what the fuck she's doing, and she wouldn't fuck around with all the washing and scrubbing and all the stuff we're doing. All the Purelling, all the hand washing, all the stuff is fucking our shit up.
Would you sooner wash your body with shampoo or your hair with soap?
It doesn't matter to me. It's
you
all,
think those
it's
are all,
all
the same?
It's all...
I'm, my follicles beg to differ.
It's all the same thing. I just rinse off. I just take a hot rinse. That's all you need. And every once in a while, I'll give the shampoo on the ball sack. And that's
it. I just
threw
up in my mouth.
Yeah, don't you get gluey with all the talc on your balls?
I do. I just dump some down there before
I left.
That
was in the documentary. Yeah. The guy had a product called Fresh Balls.
Yeah.
It was alternative to talc. It was like a cream.
Mm-hmm.
Like cream talc.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like not like it would go against the purpose of talk.
It's just
it doesn't clump, supposedly.
It's just a fucking,
yuck.
It's a huge, huge waste of money. And it's a multi, you know, all this body spray and all this fucking shit. Nothing. Okay. The only thing, here's what works. You rinse yourself off. Do not scrub yourself down with a bunch of soap every day because you're scrubbing off stuff that's supposed to be there. Your body secretes things, and nature wants them to remain. Your nature knows that you should secrete this stuff, and it should exist on your hands. Mm-hmm. Said it all the time. You know when you need to use chapstick? When you start using chapstick. You don't really need chapstick, and then you start using it, and you need it. It's like sunglasses. If you don't never use sunglasses, you don't really need sunglasses.
Yep, I don't wear sunglasses.
If you start wearing sunglasses, which I do, I can't walk out of the house without them. It's
well,
like,
you're
oh,
a celebrity.
Shit, I'm a fucking vampire. Yeah. You have to wear them through LAX at night. So there are all these things. It's like hand cream. Once you start using the hand cream, you need the hand cream. Once you start using all this sort of stuff, you become sort of dependent on it, and that's how it works. All right. Anyway, Where were we? One more story, and then we'll bring in Keckner, if you will.
I will. Girl Scouts are unveiling Girl Scout cookie candy bars.
Oh, we are not fat enough. Mm. This is awesome.
This is in honor of the 100th anniversary of Girl Scouts.
Let me ask this. Okay. I want to know something. I got two questions. How come all we do, like especially California, Los Angeles, ever since we started the lottery, the school systems have gone down the toilet. Like there's $300 million California lottery. And it's like, isn't the fucking school? And why? My fucking wife comes home every other day and is like, will you MC a charity event at the school so they can get a Macintosh computer from 1989? And I'm like, where's all the fucking lottery money? And by the way, why do I got to fucking do everything?
Well, it's a private school, isn't it?
No.
You guys go to a public school?
It's a regular school. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What? Where's the money? There's no money. There's never any money. It's like, oh, they're always raising money. Everyone's raising. The private school, the schools that you pay for, you have to pay more for. They do nothing. It's the biggest scam in the world. If you go to a private school, you pay a bunch of money, and you go to a private school. And then they go, hey, man, we're having a silent auction, and if you could do 10 minutes of stand-up, and we're asking everyone to donate.
It's silent.
Yeah, well, it'd be like if you bought a plane ticket and then you bought one in first class and then they came around and went, hey, man, I know the beer's supposed to be free, but if we could get $11 for this Miller Lite, that'd really be awesome.
we got to get this jet off the ground.
Yeah, and the fuel's pretty expensive. Yeah. And when's the last time you priced out Jet A? Because it ain't cheap, my friend. And there's union costs. And it's like, yeah, tell this to the guy who didn't buy a fucking ticket. You can go to private school. My kids went to a private, like, nursery school or whatever it is. And it was nonstop with the, we really need money. We really have. Look, first off.
They pressure you into it too, right?
Well, here's what I want to say. I want to say the same thing I want to tell the city of Burbank and the city of Glendale and the city of all the things that do all the
Fuck
chicken
you.
Ship nonstop, whatever. Look, let me cut you a check for $5,000 and let's get on with our lives here. You can save your chicken shit jaywalking tickets. You can save your bullshit no front license plate. What's it going to take? Can I just give you like $3,500 or can everyone just cut you a check and then we can get the fuck on with our lives? And here's the thing about the private school. Instead of the $12,000 or the $9,000 or whatever the fuck it is, here's an extra $5,000. Leave me the fuck alone. I don't want to MC your fucking bake sale. I know I sound like the world's greatest dad. But it's like, don't
Very
fucking,
devoted.
Don't charge a bunch of money and then explain you have no money.
Yeah.
So.
It's just a waste of my time.
That's all that goes on. The school system is, there's kajillions of dollars from the lottery going in and the schools are unusable. What's going on with the Girl Scouts? Because I feel like these bitches have raised billions over the last 10 years. Like,
they have to make patches.
When I was a kid, I know they're fucking making lanyards in God's eyes. What the fuck? When I was a kid, once in a while, like some Girl Scout would come around and he'd be like, put me down for a box. And that was it. Now, guys are just going through the halls of their work. Like, how many cases can we put you down for? They're selling them by the fucking case. They're on the internet. I mean, they're peddling this shit. There must be some, like, underground mine shaft that just is filled with millions of Girl Scout dollars. Like, is it being laundered through Mexico? Like, where? Why
You're
isn't
right.
there 10-story Girl Scout office buildings, like, right on Wilshire?
They're running guns, maybe.
What's going on? Where's the money?
That's a great question. I've never heard that brought up before. Where is all the money? Because they've sold tens of thousands per day of these Girl Scout cookies, which can't be that expensive to produce.
The markup has to be insane because these things are basically, you know, 99 cents worth a box of cookie. You're selling it for $4.99, $5.99. Literally child labor.
Well, when I was in the Brownies, a mother came in and did a little presentation on how to give yourself a manicure. And they gave us all emery boards and orange sticks. And I like to think that the money might have gone to purchasing those, Adam.
Right. So the emery boards and orange sticks. But honestly.
And we made spaghetti one night.
The units of Girl Scout cookies. Like, I will say this. Back in the day, they've been selling Girl Scout cookies for 40 years. Back in the day, 25 years ago, each Girl Scout was probably good for 2.3 boxes being sold. Now, they're all good for 7 cases. And when did you have dads pimping these things out at the workplace? And again, you'll get the stink eye if you just buy two boxes of cookies from the guy down the hall in the next cubicle. Right. You got to buy a fucking baker's dozen of these things. What is up? Where's that money? It's got to be millions and millions. There used to be a season. There's no longer a season.
No,
it's open season. It's open season on Girl Scout cookies. I feel like they're being sold year round.
These candy bars are going to be limited. They are becoming available June 1st, and by September, Nestle expects them to be gone.
All right. So
but
you have
who,
labor. You have
it. You
have a labor force that you do not pay.
Right.
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 And you
they
have
should unionize.
You're another like Fagan. I have a lot of Fagan friends too. A lot of black Fagan friends. They have this whole labor force, and they don't pay them a fucking nickel, and they get everyone's parents gets involved now. And that's this whole new thing, by the way. It used to be dad was like reading the newspaper, and if you went in and went like, "Hey, dad, can you help me just backhand you and then pull the newspaper back
days.
Up?" Yeah, get out of the way. Pour me some more Cutty Sark, kid. Oh, by the way, make a liquor store run. Get me a pack of Cutty Sark and a bottle of Cutty Sark and a pack of cigarettes. And kids would go do it.
When I'm done fucking your sister.
Yeah.
That's a weird thing where like 11-year-olds could show up with $20 and my dad wants a bottle of Cutty Sark and a pack
of
cigarettes.
Yeah, my dad quit smoking when my little sister wanted to buy him a pack of cigarettes.
Really?
From one of those vending machines where you pull the knob.
Oh,
yeah, she wanted to buy it for my dad. She told my mom and then my mom told my dad and then he quit.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm,
I like that.
He felt like he was sending her the wrong message.
I'm not. Obviously, I'm not in the message department. But I want to know what they're making, how much they're making, and where that ill-gotten gain is going. Because it's going somewhere.
Yeah, because the expenses of being a Girl Scout can't have gone up that much. It's the uniforms. But the uniforms have weird doodads and shit that goes around the socks and whatnot. But that can't be that expensive. Other than that... How much?
You make a compelling doodad argument and tassel argument.
Yes,
no,
tassels and dads and dudes.
They've always had the same outfit and patches and meetings and the whole thing. The sales has gone up 2,000-fold, and I want to know where the money's coming.
Where is it going?
It's a great point that Allison lived in, let's say, the wealthy part of town, and she made spaghetti and got emery boards. What are they doing in the poor part of town?
Yeah, I know. All right.
Maybe that's where the money's going.
Yeah.
Bring it home, baby girl.
Oh, that's the news. I'm Allison Rosen. Zip it, cunt.
That was the news with Allison Rosen.
No.
Our good, good friend, David Koechner. Interested about, forgot about Talladega Nights and how good he was in that. 40-year-old virgin. Waiting. Snakes on a Plane. Forgot about that. Thank You for Smoking. Oh, yeah. One of his best roles. And, of course, Anchorman. I want to talk to him about Anchorman 2. David Koechner in studio next.
Let's check Adam's voicemail. Brought to you by eVoice.
This June, in order to become a New York Times bestseller, Adam Carolla will have to become... a rapist.
You can leave a message at 855-295-ADAM. That's 855-295-2326. And go to evoice.com/Adam for a free 6-month trial.
Yeah, the book is, the audiobook's done, by the way. 8 hours plus. Jesus, fuck. Good to see you, David Koechner.
Hey, a pleasure. Great to be here.
And the book, Not Taco Bell Material, will be out on the 12th of June. You can pre-order it on
Amazon.
I'm sure
you've already covered this, but what does that mean, Not Taco Bell Material? Because were you supposed to be a spokesman?
I was supposed to. No, I put in an application at the North Hollywood Taco Bell when I was in high school.
The one right over there?
And they were like, no thanks.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
They had no idea what they were missing.
No, they did not know the greatness.
They had an idea.
16-year-old. I think they felt pretty confident at the time.
You would have
been
a great employee. What was the job you got then?
I got a job at McDonald's.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
I bet you were a good worker.
I was a good worker because I had really shitty self-esteem. Like if you said to me, like, you know, put your head up in that flue and clean it out with this toothbrush, I would have been, yes, boss.
I see.
And he'd be like, and you know what would be nice? If you gave me a nice blowjob before that, I'd be like, yes,
a
sir.
Gum, jabby, jabby, gum, gum, jabby, jabby, gum, gum.
Yeah.
And toothbrush.
Yeah.
Up the anus.
I would do, that's what I would have done.
I had no self-esteem. Yeah. I'd do anything.
So that was
not,
it wasn't drive. It was, please, you'll like me, right?
It was more like, I have no money, I have no self-esteem, and I'll do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And the pickings were slim, as I try to tell people.
Well, I don't know.
What was your first shitty job?
Well, I worked for my dad when I was 7 years old, so I worked all my life. Mm-hmm. I'm from a small town in Missouri. My father was a manufacturer, manufactured transportation vehicles for turkey coops, livestock transportation racks for turkeys. So I worked since I was seven.
Now, do you know how to weld?
Yeah, I'm not a very good welder.
But you were doing that kind of...
Until I got older.
Well, yeah, like not at
high
seven.
School. And yeah. It was like, I shouldn't be welding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's no place... I'm trying to think of who in the modern era has grew up further away from Hollywood.
Than me, myself?
You, with the turkey transports.
Probably. You're right. Yeah, yeah. Well, there's got to be somebody
I mean,
else,
there's back in the day.
Of course.
There's so-and-so was a sharecropper,
right.
But that's back in the
but
day.
That's back in the
this
day.
This is sort of modern times.
This is a rube that's here in Hollywood. Yeah.
Someone was telling me today that turkeys are real assholes of the bird world.
Oh, they're mean.
Well, possibly the wild turkey, but these are all raised in captivity or domestic birds or whatever you want to
call it. All birds are douchebags. They're all assholes.
I know. Geese,
they're all meaner and shit.
Swans.
I've said it a million times. If crows and seagulls and pigeons were like the size of, large dogs, we'd all be dead.
Yeah.
They'd be fucking coming down on us and just fucking killing us.
Right.
They're picking our body parts.
Larger.
I'd see them flying by with your arm hanging out of their mouth. Like they,
right.
They would the only thing that stops birds from kicking the shit out of us is their size. Because they would fuck us up royally. There was a place, believe it or not, on Ventura Boulevard, right in the middle of Studio City, that sold like pottery, and they had a guard turkey. And if you went in there, it was a big, fat, like Tom turkey. They get really big. Their feet drag, when they get so heavy and big. And you walked out there, it would go after you. Like, what do geese do? You ever see that thing where like a kid goes to walk by shore and they just fucking charge it with their head down?
Honk.
Yeah. All right. So that's about one of the bigger birds that you come across is like a goose. And so a goose is what, 14 pounds? And they'll try to take on a 200-pound dude.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, if a seagull was 150 pounds, we'd all be dead. All of us gone. Gone.
Pterodactyl-like.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They're fucking badass.
Well, I
keep
think
that
we,
population
we
check.
Would be an ongoing fight. And the humans would have committed genocide against any bird that they would have taken them out.
But I'd have to walk around with like a sawed-off shotgun. And like Mel Gibson style, back in the day.
You'd always
like
be looking around
style.
And up and down. Well, not down, but mostly up.
Mm-hmm. Mostly up.
Fun movies, the constant
watch. Your neck would hurt.
And they enjoy shitting on our vehicles. So imagine what that would be like, 150 pounds worth of bird shit coming down on you.
Now, I'm also going to assume because they're 150 pounds, their brains have grown as well.
Uh-huh, they're
smart. So now they have cunning.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
They do.
I like this now.
Yeah, yeah.
Now we've got a movie.
Yeah, now we got a movie.
Do you think lazy ones would do crossword puzzles?
Yep.
And they'd hold the pencil in
their talons. They would also be the rulers.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They'd get the other birds to do their dirty work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there'd have to be, the flamingos would be the gay birds.
Of course.
To work that out. Oh, yeah. The hawks would be sort of like the noble ones. I feel like the eagles and the hawks, they wouldn't hunt for...
Village elders.
Yeah, village elders. They'd kill you.
And the owls would be the elders as well, because they just look wise.
They'd kill you, but the seagulls would kill for sport.
Right.
That's the difference.
So you're saying the hawk and the eagle would be ironically peaceful warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They'd eat, to feed. They'd eat you in a heartbeat.
Just
but
take
just
enough.
To feed. They'd just take enough to feed the family.
Where do ducks fit in? Because I do like a duckling.
Well, yeah.
That's another thing. I think they're just as nasty as a goose, but less...
They have less
aggressive.
They got less to back
ability.
It up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Important talk. The kind of talk you won't hear on any other podcast.
Come you didn't on, get folks. Into this with Dennis Prager?
Koechner. David Koechner, by the way, can be found in Chicago at the Laugh Factory doing live shows May 24th through the 27th. Hey, it's my birthday.
Is it the 27th is your birthday?
That's right. Well, probably.
Someone's going to get some chocolate strawberries.
Yeah, teaching an improv workshop class while he's there. What do people need to know? I said this to my wife the other day. Yeah. I said, not enough stand-up comedians, actors, radio people especially, for the love of Christ, they all should take a basic improvisational class. Like all kids. I think the best thing you could do with your kid when they got their driver's license is take them to one of those defensive driving schools. It's, by the way, it's, you know, it's 100 miles out of town. It's a weekend. They learn how to control the car. They learn, they get it into a slide. They put the water down on the skid pad and they learn how to control it and
with
the throttle and all that. It cost $150 and be the best fucking $150 you ever threw at your kids. And why we have all these regulations about everything, but yet we have kids who can't operate and or control the 4,000-pound vehicle they're driving while they're texting is insane. But I say,
teens,
goddamn teens, I say all kids should have to do that, and all radio hosts and personalities and actors should have to take like a basic Groundlings improvisational class.
That's a great idea.
Adam, this is radio.
Yeah. What are the mistakes? Like what are the basics?
Well, the basic is you just must have agreement. Mm-hmm. So whatever the first person says, you agree to it in whatever manner you're able. For instance, there you go. Mm-hmm. Now, that's agreement as well. That means all you have to do is agree to keep saying no.
Right.
That's the other thing people don't understand. Like, I have to say, yes, it's a sunny day. Yes, it's a sunny day and we're growing flowers. Now, if you say it's a sunny day and the other person goes no. And then you say, well, it might rain later. Then the person says
no.
Now we have agreement because you've agreed to consistently do what you're doing. That's all that really matters.
It's a game.
And that's the game people don't get. Like, I had to find a way to agree with your most inane statement. No, you just have to agree to be consistent with what you're doing. That's all. That way I know what the game's going to be now.
Daddy the turkey farmer told him many times.
We're not farmers. We're manufacturers.
Transporters. You manufacture and transport the transporters. And what about Anchorman 2? We're excited about this.
Anchor Deuce.
We are excited about this.
It starts February. We start shooting.
Uh-huh. Exciting.
Next year.
Do you shoot in San Diego? Or
don't know yet. I don't know yet. We shot the last time in San Pedro.
Do you have any
idea? And Glendale.
Do you know any of the basic premise? Are we going forward in time and that kind of stuff?
79, early 80s, Adam McKay, another Genesis man like yourself, has said it's going to be set. And the next big transition in news was the 24-hour news cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're going to be looking at.
And you're going to reprise your character.
The champion comic,
man. So goddamn funny. That movie, for my buck, doesn't get played on basic cable or in the premium channels enough. Like, I'll see a lot of the same movies pop up on HBO. It's always one of those movies that if you run into, you'll stay with it.
Right.
It's the best compliment you can give a movie.
True.
Where if you run into it, I'll do that with Goodfellas or Casino.
Same. Like
If I run into it, I'll just stay with it.
Yep.
And
no matter where it is.
Anchorman is one of the few comedies where if you run into it, you'll stay with it.
David had a really interesting discussion about this on Pete Holmes' podcast.
Oh, you listened.
I did. And
Is it okay that I do other podcasts, Adam? I'm sorry.
I feel very uncomfortable with it.
You're not.
You made an interesting point, which I agreed with, which was a lot of people, when they saw the movie at first, weren't sure they liked it or didn't like it. Mm-hmm. And only after repeated viewings, some of us, like myself, many repeated viewings, end up loving the film. But at first, it didn't come across.
It's very Citizen Kane in that way.
It is.
It is
one of those, it needed to breathe a little bit or something like
it,
that.
All the lines and everything.
Well, because also it was so out there, and it was hard to figure out what kind of movie it was.
It's a satire.
It got really farcical at times, but then it got sort of straight for a moment. Then it got insane, like when you're having knife fights with competing channels and things like that.
It really speaks a lot more about the male, white male American than people get. They just think it's a stupid, big, broad, dumb comedy, but it's a very smart satire.
Yes.
It's an amazing satire, and people, like, they don't understand it, but they're digesting it a little bit cellularly.
Well, it's hard to, and I don't have any white male friends, so I don't know what you're talking about.
I understand
only have
that.
Gay black friends.
Yes,
but
super black, super gay.
Black and super
gay
friends.
Oh, you've met them.
Friends.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's weird because one moment you're in the control room and you're trying to believe that Fred Willard is saying this or that. And it's like, and there's an argument and there's some tension and there's an antagonist and a protagonist. And next minute they're out in the streets doing the Jets and the Sharks.
Right.
And it's completely it's farcical.
Right.
But yet you stay with it. And it's weird because you think a lot of people would get off and go, okay, well, this is insane. I'm not going to. And then you get back on again.
But I bet the audience is hoping that their news team wins.
Yes.
They're rooting for their guys.
We are going to do a little bit of news. I have a nice snippet. Like I said, I did about 8 hours plus of my audiobook, which is not done yet. We're sending it to New York, I think, tomorrow morning. Is that true, Dawson?
Yes.
Yes, but Dawson did a great job of engineering it and editing it, and Mike Lynch did a nice job producing it, and I got to tell you this. Okay, I'm not going to get going. I'll get mad, so I'm not going to get going about my land. Okay, I don't want to
argue. Sounds like you have mental problems, man.
I will. I'll play a little. I'll play you guys a little clip from it, and then we'll start.
Did you do 8 hours in one day? The book is 8 hours.
Oh, fuck no. I probably did 25 hours, and it got whittled down. Dawson, right. Poor Dawson had to whittle it down to 8 hours. And it took me, because I'm a shitty reader, but I did a lot of riffing and then reading and then riffing again. Probably took us multiple sessions of like 2-3 hour sessions, and it got whittled down to like 8 hours and 10 minutes or something.
But it's not abridged. It's unabridged, so we get the whole book.
No. There's plenty of shit left out.
Oh.
There's barely a
bridge. And extra shit put in.
But you got a bunch of extra shit.
Okay.
That's how.
Different. Right.
Yeah. So you have to buy the print and the audio. Audio.
You got to get them both. And the thing we're going to play you, I think you're going to hear me read the top part, and then you'll hear me riff the second part. I haven't heard it yet, but check it
out. All right.
Quick tangent. We rode motorcycles for a few reasons. One, you could fill up the tank for $1.89. Two, you could cut through L.A. traffic. And on weekends, you could go carve up a canyon. All good reasons to purchase a motorcycle. Being seen, and especially being heard, were not part of the equation. That's because we weren't insecure, narcissistic poser douchebags. You fucksticks that pull the baffles out of your Harley exhaust so that people in surrounding neighborhoods, countries, and the unborn can celebrate the arrival of your preening ass and the Harley softtail it's perched on, ranked just beneath pedophile clown and Nazi prison guard on the cosmic cocksucker list. How many times have you had the shit scared out of you while walking back to your car after a satisfying dinner because one of these guys flew past you with the hammer down? It's called noise pollution. And the chicken shit cops that are busy handing out tickets for no front license plates or illegal window tints should for once focus on something we give a fuck about. My fantasy is to follow one of these guys home some night and hide in the pantry until he's finished beating off to a cardboard cutout of himself and falls asleep. Then I would sneak into his room, past the Lucite box housing the cheap vinyl boxing glove that may or may not have been signed by Muhammad Ali, past the Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man poster, stand at the foot of his bed, and fire off one of those air horns they use to start the boat regattas. When he popped up, I'd yell, "How's it feel, bitch?" Seriously, I'm not done with these fucking cops and this problem. Has anybody had their life negatively impacted because another motorist did not have a front license plate or was going 9 miles an hour faster than the posted speed limit? All right. So maybe one or two of you had a kid run over. Cry me a goddamn river. These motherfuckers and their noise machines. And they're such douchebags because they always have to throw those revs. Hey, look at me, everybody. Can we just get rid of the fucking helmet laws and let these guys all turn into vegetables? I mean, seriously, between these ass wipes and the leaf blowers, I can't fucking nap in this city. Name me a city that has more leaf blowers and douchebags and Harleys than L.A. You know what? I want a ranking of the best cities to nap in. You know, they always come out with that bullshit like Forbes does. Best cities to get a job. Best cities to raise your kids. Best cities to get an education. Fuck all that. I'm tired. Name me the best napping cities. That's where I'll move. That'll be a great conversation with the wife, won't it? Look, the school systems are for shit. Crime's through the roof, and the unemployment rate's in the 80s. But, now hear me out. There's some good napping. They say I may not even need earplugs in my eye shade. Either way, pack up the Audi and put a for sale sign on the house. We're pulling the kids out of school. We're moving to Napa. Get it? Napa. It'd only be funnier if there was a place called Sleepa. Napa. There. No, not the auto parts. Ah, boy. This is confusing now.
And that is a little snippet, 5 minutes of the 8 hours plus. You can hear my nasally drone.
So wait a minute.
Keckner, you're an actor. You do my next
wait,
one.
Wait, how much of that was not in the book?
Well, the first part about the motorcycle stuff is in the book. And then I got pissed off and started thinking about these guys waking me up when I was napping. And then I got onto this napping thing. But I would like to know what were the best cities for napping.
Right. Well, I love it because I wonder how many people buy a book and then want to hear it too. And then what just decides to get left on the floor like because you decided to go off.
I don't want to interrupt, but I wrote this book with Adam. There's stuff in the audiobook that I'd never heard. Details, new details that are coming out of these stories. It's you have to buy both. You really do.
Or not, or neither. I mean, let's be honest. Let's keep it real. It's impossible for me to start reading a page of something that I thought of without it sending me off a different direction and angering me, and then right. me, and then I have to go on a riff about it. And the first audiobook was probably 6.5 hours, and it probably was a little more than half of what was in the book, maybe 2/3 of what the book was. This is probably half to 2/3, but there's no way. It'd be 14 hours if I did it all, so either way.
Well, people are going to listen in their car. Give them 14 hours.
I'm out of goddamn breath.
Give it all of them. No.
Should we do some news with Allison Rosen?
I love her.
Yeah, I love her.
And now, the best of the news with Allison Rosen.
A little update. I've looked at this Girl Scouts frequently asked question, and here's one. Where does the money earned from Girl Scout cookie sales go?
Keckner, you have a young daughter who's a Girl Scout, Martin and you have to pay for all this stuff, right?
Well, they place orders. If you do, I mean, you know.
No, you have to buy the uniform and
right.
all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, so nothing's free. I mean,
nothing's free.
And we're part of a local group. There's a lot of local troops. And so I don't understand what their expenses are, but we're going to have
right. some. It's not like they go, here's a uniform and a kilo of Coke.
No.
We're rolling in clover over
right,
here.
Right.
Right. Well, okay, get ready to be irritated by this answer.
Right.
The best way to understand where the money goes is by picturing a cookie. A piece of the cookie goes to pay the
selling.
Baker for making the product.
No shit.
Another piece goes to the local Girl Scout Council to support Girl Scouts in its area. And a third piece goes directly to the group selling the cookies. And then I found an article.
All right, but
I'd like to weigh in there, too. Yes. Just first, way the condescending way that they couch this thing
I know.
Is really disturbing.
They wrote
think
it in
about
that
it
voice
this
that
way.
I just used.
Don't think – no, I want an answer. I don't want a metaphor.
Okay.
Also, it's pretty easy. I mean, obviously, if you're selling a box of something for $5, we can all do the no shit Sherlock math of, all right, you had to pay the baker $1.50 to get the box, but where's the $3.50 going?
Right.
So then here's an article, Girl Scout cookies by the numbers, just where do all those dollars go? And this is from 2010, and in Nassau County, New York. Oh, crap. Okay. So for a $3.50, a box of cookies that sold for $3.50, 85 cents goes to the baker, 50 to 57 cents goes to the sewing troop, 5 to 7 cents goes to the troop for prizes, if they want to award prizes to the top seller, 1 cent goes to the neighborhood service unit. I don't know what that is. And the rest.
Sounds like the whore who lives down at the end of the cul-de-sac.
Right.
Former Girl Scout.
And pay a visit to the neighborhood yeah. service unit.
Girl Scout outplacement. Right. What happens when you get too old for Girl Scouts? You end up on your back.
They got to put you in a house. Yeah.
And the rest goes to the regional council.
Well, who's the regional council?
The regional
exactly.
council
there
has, to, has to be making millions and millions of dollars,
yeah.
right?
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Millions of dollars.
I'm
going
to blow
see.
The lid
okay.
off this bed.
The best
about
way
the
to think about
unit.
It.
The service unit is another level of scouting.
All right.
And
bullshit.
And in the community.
No, it's not. Scouting. What do you mean scouting?
Well, I'm just telling you what this article says.
They got 1 penny per box, so who really cares?
Yeah.
1 penny and 1 penny and 1 penny times 100 is a dollar, Brian. All right. So, Kelly Thomas.
Yeah.
Wednesday was the third and final day in the preliminary hearing to see if the two officers accused of beating homeless Fullerton man Kelly Thomas to death should stand trial.
Sad.
And since this story, it's been determined that they will stand trial. The violent encounter happened last July outside a bus depot, and a video of the incident has served as the centerpiece on the prosecution's case against the officers.
Yeah.
Officer Manuel Ramos, who's 38, is charged with second-degree murder and involuntary manslaughter.
All right, let me jump in here. I know all about this story, and this guy was schizophrenic, and I think his dad was a retired cop.
Yes.
And they literally beat him to death.
Yes, they did.
They just beat him to death. He was a frail-ish guy. I can't look at the picture
of
the guy.
No, I can't watch the video.
I mean, the cops beat him to death. Now, okay, how many times have I said this? That's what cops do. That they beat people. Right. And whenever we always turn it into a racial thing. Obviously, if he was black, the fucking all the fucking names would be coming out of the woodwork, and there'd be marching, and there'd be rioting, and there'd be fucking candles poking through paper plates, and there'd be all this talk, and Al Sharpton would be down here fucking pulling this Nipsey Russell bullshit, and that's all. But it's a white guy
who
got the shit beat out of him by Mexican cops, so it doesn't matter. Go ahead.
Sidebar, who goes out and gets the plates and the candles? Now there, you know who it is?
It's the service
unit.
Thank you,
my partner.
That's improv.
I love it. It's a service unit. They go out and go, get the fucking plates.
You know what I'm going to do?
Specialize in vigils. Yeah.
I'm going to, you know what we should do?
It's 1-800-TAKE-BACK-THE-NIGHT.
Keckner, you know what we ought to do? We got to start producing paper plates with a hole in them.
You're damn right.
And then going out stirring up trouble. You know, just running back like...
Big paper plate.
I kicked the shit out of some black guy. He's in bad shape. Hey, come on, folks.
Come on.
Let's go.
I'm outraged.
I got some plates. No, don't punch a hole.
No need. But how are we going to get the candles inside?
I got them. We're selling them. Ooh. We got them.
These are long burning candles.
Yeah.
You don't have time to punch a hole in a paper plate. You need to take back the night.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, these cops just beat him to death. It's the most disturbing thing in the world.
Did he have a knife? Did he have a gun?
He had nothing.
He had someone else's mail in his backpack.
He's on his belly. He's crying out for his daddy. Ugh. Like, oh, daddy, please, no more. And they literally beat him to death.
Wow.
And, there's a couple things. Rodney King's a fucking criminal. Mm-hmm. I mean, that guy's a career criminal who went on to go on and get in a whole bunch more trouble after he got the shit beat out by LAPD. And he was in the act of driving 90 miles an hour through a residential neighborhood attempting to flee the cops. Mm-hmm. And they did something that was wrong,
right. Which
is they beat the shit out of him. But at least he was committing a crime,
and they didn't kill him. They beat a man on camera.
They beat him on camera, right. That's the biggest All my friends are game black. The point is this. This guy... And, of course, there's no racial implications. Uh-huh. And I don't know why. Why does anyone go, well, the guy who did most of the beating was a Hispanic guy, and maybe he hated white people.
Well,
this guy was clearly
had red hair.
Clearly white. Well, this is white, super white guy. Well, no. I've said it. How many times I've said, cops are assholes. They want you to run. They're aggressive. They have switches. And the switch is sort of pit bull-esque. And once that fucking switch gets thrown, it's fucking on. Mm-hmm. These are all the badasses who couldn't get the grades to go to college but decided to be cops. And they're eager for the fray. They want to fucking mix it up.
Not all of them. Okay.
99%
Adam
of them.
Adam is not saying. No. Jesus.
I am saying this.
You're not saying 99%
no,
of them.
No, I'm saying it's. Look. It's a mentality. Okay. Now these are 6-7 different cops. This is not one bad lieutenant.
Oh, wait, they tried covering up on all that stuff.
No, they all gathered around this. Now there's a couple of guys.
Wasn't two guys?
There were more of them, but there's two guys on trial. Are being charged for murder or manslaughter.
One is being charged with second degree murder and involuntary manslaughter, and the other one is being charged with involuntary manslaughter.
I believe there were 6, 7, 8 cops standing around this guy.
Them.
Yeah, and they're not all bad cops. Here's the point. Switch thrown, game on. It's an adrenaline thing.
Yeah.
They don't have a dimmer switch. Right. And we outnumber these guys, and you know, we're kind of looking... In a weird way, and I hate to say it, but we're looking for this. Like,
who's the we here?
Cops. We're looking to mix it up, but I can't fucking mix it up when I pull Alison Rosen over, but when I got this guy on his belly and all my buddies, and it turns into dogs. Like, just switch on. It's a gang mentality. It's like soccer hooligans. Like, one guy walking down the street's not going to go, let's light that wilding. Yeah, they're going to light that cab on fire.
Right.
But when everyone gets caught up in it, it's like it's a mob mentality, except for this is the mob. The mobs have badges. So they're human beings, and they get fired up. But I'm trying to explain if it randomly happens to a black guy, everyone goes berserk. But cops will beat the shit out of anybody at any time. Mm-hmm. And they're such a fucking mixed bag now. They're all white, Hispanic, and black, especially in L.A., that really, can you assign the whole racial thing anymore?
No, because they could all star in a McDonald's commercial.
That's right. I own my own McDonald's.
You've got to be a perfect blend of white, black, Hispanic,
right.
and Asian.
Right.
Like, oh, my God. Or Seattle. You're going to be
or that Flomax.
You're right that there was not national outrage, but locally there was outrage.
What was their explanation?
No, not racial outrage.
What? No, not racial. You're right.
Well, that's the whole point. Like, everyone knows, these cops are kicking the shit. Well, first off, this is not a guy who had to spend a couple weeks in a hospital. This is a guy who's dead.
Dead, yeah.
And he was beaten to death.
He died, I think, 5 days after. And a coroner's pathologist said he died of chest compression and blood from facial wounds.
And this wasn't a situation where he got tased and had a reaction because he had a heart problem. He was literally suffocated and beaten to death.
Yeah, the prosecutor...
And we should be insanely outraged about this, but I'm just telling all my black and gay friends, because I only have black and gay friends.
Right. Oh, your friends.
This happens to red-haired people all
friends.
The time. It's just you guys don't give a shit about them.
Right. The prosecutor said the officer was twirling his baton and then, quote, put on a show when he put on a pair of latex gloves, signaling he was not going to be nice anymore. The officer said, see my fist. These fists are going to fuck you up, according to the video.
Okay.
Wow, right. It's on video.
Apparently in the video you could see the blood coming off of Kelly Thomas like flying into
what
the
was
air.
Their explanation about why they
They
kept...
said he wasn't they kept saying to him, what's your name? And
because he wouldn't
he
give
wasn't,
his name?
Yeah, and he wasn't cooperating.
He was non-compliant.
That's what
so
their
they,
lawyer
he gets
says.
Beaten?
Yeah.
Well, how about some handcuffs and take him downtown?
They're looking for an excuse.
Someone was breaking
to do
into
it.
Cars, yeah, around that area, and evidently he had someone else's mail in his backpack.
Listen, I got basically detained at the airport, and they do the same fucking thing. They go, three of them got into the elevator with me. They're these fucking, you know, junior college reject fucking asswipes. They get in the elevator with you, and they go, put your head in the corner. Put your head in the corner. Face the corner. Face the corner. And you put your face the corner, and they go, face the other corner. Face the other corner. And I'll tell you why they say, why standing in the right corner back of an elevator with your head pressed against the corner of an elevator is different than the left corner of the elevator. I'll tell you what the difference is. The difference is there's an opportunity for me to turn around and go, come on, seriously, what the fuck's going on? And for all
heads.
Three of them
yes.
to go, fuck now.
He
it's fucking
he
on. He resisted. He didn't comply.
Yep.
That's what they're looking for. Why? Because there's fucking three of them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's six or eight of these guys.
Two
and that's
witnesses.
The way they work.
Two witnesses.
And fucking backup.
Because
it was one. Maybe I'd beat the shit out of the one guy, but the three of them, no fucking way. And that's what they do. They hope that you fuck with them. And I'm not saying all cops, but a lot of cops are this way. They want you to fucking go, hey, man, what's up? And by the way, this, I want to tell my black brothers this is what goes on. Because when they pull over the Jews are scared shitless. The Jews are like, yes, sir, no, sir, I don't know. The brothers get a little, hey, man, what's up? And that's where the problem. You walk at these guys when they go get on the ground and you go, why? What'd I do? You're getting fucking tased or shot or pepper sprayed or something like that. It's total and complete compliance. And that's all anyone can do. What they do is wrong. What you can't do, they're looking for a gap, an opportunity. Just one fucking, if I would have just turned around and went, listen, I didn't do shit. And what's the difference between this side of the elevator and I would have felt something in the back of my head. That would have been it. It would have been on. And they wanted it to be on.
Yeah.
That's the point.
You should have some Occupy guys in. They felt that these guys got fucked up. A lot of them have long-term nerve damage. Those guys went hard on them.
Well,
for standing up for their own, civil
they're
rights.
They're looking for it. They want.
Well, they've waited for a long time. Like, these guys, okay, we're going to move in.
Think about being a cop. It's like being a football player and never leaving the locker room. It's like at a certain point, if you're just fucking riding tickets and cruising around in a patrol car, you ain't fucking getting into it.
Have you had any officers on?
It's been a while. When I used to work in Culver City, the cops used to come by and hang out.
Oh, yeah?
And they're good guys. And we used to... First off, me and Sean Penn went to a cop bar. I like the fact that there's cop bars after Loveline once and had a few cocktails. Or Chris Penn, sorry. A little difference there. And the cops in Culver City, we used to drag race because Culver City was a ghost town back then and there was nothing. And it'd be 12:30 at night, and I'd pull up in my BMW M3, and they'd pull up in their Ford Fury or whatever, the 440. Oh, they knew who I was, and I met him in the parking lot, and the guy just looked at me, and I'd look at him, and he'd throw a few revs, and we'd go at it.
Wow.
And at some point, he'd always turn his rollers on and go off after we stopped drag racing, because just in case anyone saw, it looked like he was doing something. But it's fun. Yeah, I could smoke in my... it was pretty good, actually. He'd get to jump on the line. The M3 moved pretty good, I got to say. But the guy was driving the Ford Fury or whatever the hell it was, and it moved pretty good. Yeah, it had the cap suspension, cap brakes.
So who's going to make... I understand they discontinued the Crown Vic. So what's going to replace it?
I've seen a lot of Dodge Challengers and or Chargers. I think it's Charger.
So Dodge is going
to
take over.
That's what I've seen. But anyway, sad story. They killed a guy. They beat
him
to death.
Here's what I don't understand. And maybe it's because I'm female. Or maybe it's because I'm soft. But if you're beating someone and they are crying out for help and calling for their dad, how could that not shock you out of what you're doing? How could you not feel even like a wave of compassion? And I realize I sound like a bleeding heart, and I am.
No,
one.
No, you are, and it's fine.
No,
we're
you sound
all
like a human
but
being.
No, you sound like what? Thank you sound you. Like us. But here's the whole thing. We wouldn't be cops.
No.
Yeah.
You understand like it's
I mean,
a mentality.
Yeah, I guess it involves a hardening.
And it's not any different. I've told you I've been attacked by a cop dog before unintentionally fucking man show, and that dog brought me down, and I said to the owner, who was scarier than the dog, the trainer guy, fucking scary dude, I said, what do? Blow a whistle or yell something, or you have a doggy treat? Like, what gets him off me once he takes me down? And he's like, don't say anything, but nothing.
Wait a minute. Is this after he done the thing or before?
Before. He said, he literally, here's how you get the dog off the dude. You kick the dog in the ribs. You don't yell.
You don't yell command.
You pull the dog off.
You take his hair.
Yeah, he said a switch is thrown in the dog. And once that switch is thrown, it's fucking on.
He's gone.
And these guys are the same. Yeah. Once the switch, whether it's Rodney King or a red-haired guy, once the switch is thrown, it's fucking on.
Well, I think probably too. There's more going on with this individual that these guys that beat them to death, and maybe there needs to be a psychological profile or panel that these guys had to go through, because clearly it's the wrong individual to have this job ever.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe we're all susceptible. Look what happened in Germany. You've got all maybe decent family guys doing horrible things to other human beings. So I don't know. I know that there's been experiments where they've had to discontinue them with great college kids that were put in a situation where their classmates were in a situation where they're doing an experiment where some were captors and some weren't, and they immediately did horrible things to
Stanford
each other.
Stanford prison experiment,
exactly.
Right?
This is why all
this kid
everyone wants
right here is an amazing reference.
She's sharp.
She's very sharp.
Thank you.
This is why I know. This is why everyone goes, you know, oh, the boss is a dick or the celebrity's a dick. And I always say to people, as a matter of fact, I have a few people, Brian, you're on my list, of people that would immediately turn into ass wipes if they were huge celebrities.
Well, let's hope that never happens.
And
just keep doing what you're doing.
True. You see your name on the front of the building.
No.
You become the boss man or the boss woman.
77 cents. 77 cents on the dollar.
No.
77 cents.
That's
77
right.
cents on the dollar.
But I say too much. I agree with Gechner. You be the star for a while and see how it changes you. Mm-hmm. And it happens. Or you be the cop. Mm-hmm. You be the guy who's never wrong. Mm-hmm. You be the guy on the other side of the shield. You be the guy with the gun. You be the guy who never gets talked back to.
You're taught to keep looking for infractions.
And what attracts you to the business? Because
wanting to be able to carry a gun and fuck people up.
We talk about all the time. I mean, you think David Cross would be attracted to this business? Or
no.
Seth MacFarlane or anybody we know. I mean, we all know.
David Cross would be funny because he would just be so sarcastic with everybody.
Right. Two beers, really?
Yeah,
two.
Just had two.
Two beers.
Dude, I could smell you from the squad.
Right.
Come on, let's go out.
So I'm not saying they're all bad guys, but they all at least have the testosterone switch in them or they would not want to be cops.
That shuts the submarine door.
And
the hatch is closed and that's over.
And when it's on, it's on. And it's a gang mentality and you know you're going to win because there's one of them and there's six of you. And by the way, when there's five guys kicking somebody, if you're the one who's not kicking them, you're the odd man out.
Yeah, you got to go. Something wrong with you?
You got to go to Denny's with these guys later on. Yeah. Do you want to be the guy who didn't kick the guy who was down? And how much courage does it take to be the guy who tries to pull people off when they're all
right
fucking going nuts on this guy?
I just said that people go into it because they want to carry a gun and fuck people up, and it's occurring to me that probably a lot of people go into it too because they want to save people, but wanting to save people involves a hatred of crime and a hatred of criminals, and some like, there's obviously anger and aggression there. And
well,
it's just how you're expressing it.
What's going on is they walk around with a when you give someone a taser, you know, give your kid a taser, give Sarge a taser, and tell Sarge, here's a taser.
To keep Audrey in line.
But don't use it unless you really have to. You will probably get tased by him before you finish that sentence. You know what I mean? How long is that thing going to sit on his hip before it comes out? And it's like, I had to tase the cat, Pop. It was getting out of line. She was giving me the stink eye again.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you tell the guy, here's a gun, here's a pepper spray, here's a taser. Don't use it. Don't use it. Just keep it mellow. Don't use it. You want to use it. At a certain point, it's all you want it to be on.
That's what I would say about gun owners, is that a gun owner kind of wants to use it. Do you agree with that?
Well, there's two kinds of gun owners. There's the ones that have them hidden away somewhere in their closet that they couldn't even remember where the fuck it was if somebody broke their kitchen window.
The only person and that's going to find it is their kids. But yes, go ahead.
Then there's a guy who keeps it tucked in the back of his ass crack, and that guy wants to use it. Yeah. All right.
An 11-year-old boy is facing criminal charges after destroying $36,000 worth of computers by urinating on them.
Whoa.
It's a lot
like
of urine,
chip.
I know.
It's a lot of pee. Yeah.
I know, because is it the wetness factor? Is it the force? Is he a porcelain punisher as well? Teachers at a Pennsylvania school.
There can only be one.
What if it's his doppelganger, though?
30?
What if there's another? Discovered the 30 damaged MacBook computers on a cart in a corridor at Upper Allen Elementary School in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. The equipment was damaged beyond repair. Staff at the school identified the boy last week, and he faces charges of institutional vandalism and criminal mischief.
All right, now let's try to work this out. Did you say 34? How many?
30. $36,000.
$36,000
so
worth
36
of...
36 computers.
And... But 30 damaged MacBook computers, what they
all
said.
All right, so they're like $1,200 a piece.
Right.
Wait a minute. They didn't get a deal at a school for 30 MacBook laptops?
No
deal. $36,000? Come on.
They are just like the Girl Scouts, they are driving up prices.
All right. Can you piss on 30 computers?
Well, they've got to be stacked up and open.
And
open. How
see,
do you...
I'm not buying all this because stacked is shut off, unplugged and closed,
right.
And you can do damage to the top few. But and look, I'm not saying that anyone wants the piss computer, but the ones at the bottom got to be at least salvageable.
You know what it is? Maybe it's that parents are going to raise hell if their kids are using P computers.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. It might be a lawsuit.
What if you're a PC man?
Bing bong.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Thank you.
There you go.
So I get the
Very
big
nice.
Bucks. Yeah. I still like the cut of this kid's jib. I don't want to party with
I like the volume of this kid's
bladder.
Yeah.
Do you think he had to hold it in for a while to build that up?
Oh, he had a lot of anger. Somebody pissed him off.
Mm-hmm.
Look, that's a natural reaction.
Oh,
for
no,
any,
I mean literally,
boy.
Like drinks. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, you know, what are you going to do? I'll pee on it.
Yeah.
That's how you take power back over it.
Maybe he just was marking it. Maybe he's like, I want these
he's
computers.
A dog.
I want to use these things. These are mine.
Yeah.
These
yeah.
are rightfully mine.
But there is I agree. I'm sorry to interrupt
no, it's
you,
okay.
but I agree. If they were lined up, I couldn't. If I drank a six pack of beer, I'm not sure I could hit 36 computers.
I'd like to see it because every once in a while, I turn on like ESPN 5 at 2 in the morning and they have the world's invitational like black belt competition and they try to set a new record for like breaking pieces of knotty pine and they have like a line and there'll be like 80 guys in a line. It's the martial arts version of the gangbang record and there'll be like 80 students holding and the guy's like Hutsay and he's running all the way down and it's like he has 21 more seconds to go. He's got to break 5 more bulls. Hutsay and there's some kind of record. It's always funny. But I could see Koechner finishing off his last Mickey's Big Mouth, and he's got the computers all lined up and open, and he's got, like, special sweatpants made for himself.
No resistance.
You know what I mean? And they're like, Koechner, boy, I'll tell you, he came in here, and it was all business. I tried to get an interview with him before. He denied it. He's got a steely eye. I think he's going to get the record this year.
And last year when he tried it, he had a little bit of a shy bladder.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he talking. Said the alcohol really, last year it was just water.
Yeah.
And this footage. Year it's alcohol. He thinks he's not going to worry about it.
He went with a Michelob Ultra last year, which he now regrets. Says he was training for a movie. He went with a malt liquor. I think that's smart. He's getting back to basics. He's wearing those shoes that girls wear to play indoor volleyball. He really looks like he's brought his A game.
How do you train? I go to a lot of athletic events, a lot of ballparks.
Yeah.
I'll drink a lot, and I'll wait for, you know, like either the football game at halftime. I know it's a crowd, and there's a line behind me, and I have to pee, so I have to get through that. So I know that the camera's going to catch it. No. I can do it.
The
for
lateral
practice,
movement
sometimes
is...
we'll even wait in the women's bathroom line, which is known for being longer.
His lateral movement is cat-like. I've seen him working the tires. It's unbelievable.
I mean, you had to run. He must have had more pee on himself than he had on the computers. How do you do it?
I don't know. I just want to see Keckner try. They'd be all open. They'd be lined up. And just for fun, you'd have to sit an Asian kid at every computer. And Keckner's just running, just doing this, what we called it. It was called karaoke in football. It's a move where you sort of go back and forth. You take your front.
Jingle jangles.
Yeah. Is that what you call them?
That's what we call them.
We take your front foot, put it over the back, and then your back foot?
You run laterally.
Yeah, but are you doing...
You're switching the legs.
You're doing the switching legs. Yeah. It was called karaoke a million years ago. Mm. I don't know why. Yeah, Keckner, you'd be just a man for that. All right. Where were we?
Speaking of urine, this is something that came up on my podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Gary was saying how great it would be to have a urinal in his house. And I was thinking, why would anyone want that? And then everyone explained, no... Every man wishes they could have a urinal in their house because it's just so much easier.
Oh, it's awesome.
I've expressed this thought to my wife.
It's true. Yes.
I had a urinal at my party house.
You lucky son of a bitch.
It's great.
I never knew
how much
every man wishes he had a urinal at his house.
I was just at Phil Rosenthal's house, and he has a waterless urinal.
Name drop.
Right.
Name drop.
Now he's working in the...
How does that work?
Folks,
like
if you don't remember Phil Rosenthal, let me help. He created Everyone Loves Raymond. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry. You're at
Romano
Phil's...
in next week, by the way. He has
name
the
drop.
Kind that they don't... It's not hooked up to any plumbing. You'll see him in a lot of commercial buildings and stuff now. Yeah. And you just stand there and piss in them. And it's nice because it's no aim and it's no worries.
Have you noticed? Here's the thing I've noticed at airports. Even if it's a urinal, which you're just going right up to it, I mean, you've got 10 inches
really?
of width. No,
oh,
no to,
I get you.
In which to pee in.
Mm-hmm.
It's jutting out a foot.
Mm-hmm.
There's still pee all over the fucking floor.
There's not only is there pee all over the fucking floor in front of the urinal at any airport, any place
a
guy goes.
Every single one. Right.
If
and
you go
international
if you go to a shitty enough airport, you will see boogers on the wall in front. Like guys will literally pick their nose while they're pissing and while they have you're standing over a huge booger receptacle. Instead of rolling it up and tossing it in there, you'll smear it on the wall. I have seen this many times, and this I want an explanation for, and when I'm in charge, I'll do DNA tests and get to the bottom of it. I've seen pubes on top of the urinal. Now, how much fucking gusto do you have to pull your crank out with to get a pube on top? That is a full 14 inches above your crank. You're placing that shit on there. Yeah. What is that pube doing on the fucking...
Right.
You're on top of the urinal.
I guess the CSI explanation could be when you unzipped and you pulled your
Much gusto?
Penis out, it may have gotten on your hand.
And then when you wiped your booger on the top?
Well, no, then when you went to use the...
Yeah, but even on the waterless ones, I'm just saying, when I'm in charge, I'm pulling some fucking DNA off that thing. We're getting to the bottom of this. I want that guy arrested.
Are we so impatient we back away before we're done? But there is pee below every urinal.
Oh, and
what is it?
I'll tell you what drives me fucking insane. I will get to the airport urinal, and there will be a golden frothy bowl of someone else's piss waiting for me.
Yes.
Like, hey, let me introduce myself. I'm someone else's piss. You smell the hints of asparagus and B vitamins in here. Like yellow, golden, fucking yellow, bubbly, frothy piss.
Still
and
warm.
There's a fucking...
Still warm.
There's a slot. I mean, there's a slot machine. You just pull the handle. Yep. Just fucking pull the handle, dude. Nope. I'm going to fill this with piss, and then I will walk away, and then that'll be my greeting card. That'll be my calling
what kind
card.
Of
when
pig?
You
it's a special...
like, come enjoy my piss. Yeah. And now look, whether you'd like to just sit and enjoy my piss or piss on top of my piss,
yeah,
and then
the
flush it. You can flush it twice. You can flush it. And by the way, some of those things flush with a lot of vigor. And you'll get a little spray, oh. And I'll be like, how much of that is that dude's piss?
Yes.
Who is that motherfucker?
Well, now, is he marking?
Who is that fucker?
Is he the bull? Is he marking? Is he trying to be the lead male?
I'll tell you who he is. I'll tell you, it's a combination of two guys. There are two guys. There are the human beings that are just so fucking far out of it,
yeah.
No one else exists. Right. Like, they just don't. These are the guys who, when they're supposed to be turning left and pulling out into the intersection and then waiting out in the intersection, they wait back on the other side of the crosswalk so that when the signal cycles, they're the only one who can get across. Like, this is how you fucking drive? Like,
right.
Where do you recognize the existence of other human beings? Number one, so it's either that guy, the guy's just so people think, you know, there's narcissism, like, oh, I look great with my shirt off and I'm so fucking funny.
I'm going to walk down Sunset Boulevard.
This is an ultimate narcissism. This is, you do not exist. Uh-huh. And then there's the weird germaphobe who's like, I don't want to touch the handle.
Right.
That's your fucking problem,
right.
Dick.
Right.
You fucking deal with it. Go get a fucking paper towel, put it over the fucking handle and flush
it.
Do it with your fucking elbow. Do whatever the fuck you got
to
do.
Cut your fingers in your own pubes if you need to.
Do that stupid move that the guys do where it's like, well, I'm going to take my shirt sleeve. Great. You piss all over your fucking shirt. Do the fucking math, retard.
Now you have a fucking
piss sleeve. I hate these people. I fucking hate them. And when I say I wish they'd die, I mean it because it would be a much better planet. We'd live on a much fucking better planet.
This rant, by the way, is also in the book.
It's in the book. It'll be in the next one. All right, let's bring this home, Allison Rosen.
That's the news. I'm Allison Rosen. It's a bit cunt. See my fist. These fists are going to fuck up.
What did you just say?
That was the news.
It's a long story.
The great, can you turn me, do that? Yes. The great David Koechner can be found May 24th through the 27th, Laugh Factory, Chicago, Piranha 3DD. Oh, now I'm down. In theaters, June 1st.
I got five kids.
David, understood? They need to be fed. DavidKoechner.com.
Follow me on Twitter.
And you can follow him at KoechNer.
Follow my wife,
David,
as well.
And you can Twitter him at David Koechner. We'll look forward to Anchorman 2 coming out, Piranha 3DD, and again, the live shows at the Laugh Factory in Chicago. So, until next time, it's Adam Carolla for David Koechner, Allison Rosen, and Bald Brian saying, mahalo.